if we go back to this or any part of that.
Well, that's why I'm saying it's travel and masking. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I know we're still talking about other
absolutely
ideas. Yeah.
Yep.
And
can I make a comment on this particular piece that if we aren't doing universal masking and a student or staff comes back and they're masking and ends up testing positive, mm-hmm. it will have been no use because then the people that
you there, Sarah?
I think
she's been kicked off a couple of times.
She was kicked off.
Sorry.
Where she was probably going though is like that both parties have to be compliant with their mask and wearing it appropriately. And yeah, if it's not happening in the schools and only the traveler is doing it, mm-hmm. kind of negates that whole.
It does.
Let's just change it from 6 feet to 3 feet. That's the main difference, right? As far as let's.
So if you're still far apart, it's okay.
Yeah. So it doesn't anything. It just changes the distance. Mm-hmm. As far as being a close contact. That's the way I understood that.
I think that's true. I think if they're beyond the 6 feet, I guess that's another question we have.
Beyond 3 feet,
firm.
No mask, right?
Well, I think it's three. It's within, you can have it within the 3 to 6 feet, with under 6 feet if you do have both
right.
parties.
But I'm talking about if only one of them had a mask on.
Yes.
But they were 6 feet.
Yes, I would say if it's 6 feet or beyond, I would say that
yeah,
that's
true. Yeah, so if we
can
kind of keep spacing. Mm-hmm. Also, like what the guidance says versus like what we think would reasonably happen, you know?
Right.
Like I understand, yes, if I sit right next to somebody who's COVID positive and there's a potential I could get COVID from them, but if they are masked, that goes way down regardless of the number of feet or inches or,
right.
you know, whether you hop three times and spun around, whatever the CDC says, I mean, like reasonably, we can assume that you are there, it's better protection than none.
Well, that's my raincoat analogy.
Yeah.
Just be honest with the correctly and consistently. Mm-hmm. That's almost impossible. If you've ever been through the,
yeah,
it's kind of silly because nobody wears them correctly and consistently, the way that they recommend. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that's, I mean, they'll go through. Did you consistently wear them with no your nose piece? You know, it's like no.
Honestly,
a kid, if
the reality. Yeah.
No reality. They're not wearing them correctly or consistently, even all the way through 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's why I keep saying that out loud, because I don't disagree with you on that. That's why mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out what that means for us, you know, in that sense, or like what is the best way to.
And these masks are not,
you know,
viruses go right through these masks. They're not airtight masks. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were wearing an N95,
mm-hmm.
and they have it fitted and everything else, so these keep you from spitting on each other, basically.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they do help, but
yeah.
Sure.
But
yeah,
when you start talking correctly and consistently, and
mm-hmm.
there's a whole lot of it.
Yeah.
And I don't think our kids could handle wearing an N95
mask
for a whole school day either.
No.
That sounds terrible.
So it's like, yeah, it slows things down a little bit.
It does not.
It's the raincoat analogy that they used.
Yeah.
Slows it down. Doesn't give you the full deluge, but it, yeah. Hey, Kinley.
And with this plan, how long would masks be required at the start of school? Like how long would that few weeks be considered?
Until September 14th. That's what we're discussing. So that'd be those. Basically, we start on Tuesday the 31st, and we have a meeting on Tuesday the 14th. So that would be 2 weeks until then.
But we haven't decided on that yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To do that.
Is there another? Is this the end? Is there another page?
There's another page. So, yeah.
So, because it'd be nice to discuss, but it'd be good if we get, like, the whole thing. Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah. So, basically, on this one, as we said, there's sort of this operationally, you know, do we talk about starting with the 2 weeks at the beginning? Do you look at community case counts and being able to make some sort of modifications within that between sort of a yellow and a red kind of thing? And really, it's just, at that point, it's about masking. And we need to really determine what we want to do with travel as well. Okay, next one. And this one would be basically, this is sort of that lowest risk, strictest you know, protocol, and this would be the one in the conversation where if you're theoretically trying to look at anticipating fewer disruptions with universal masking, fewer close contacts on quarantine if we have to go through the public health process, theoretically. Same thing about the CDC rules and the guidance there, the related to the consistent and correct wearing of masks. And likely to keep school and kids in person the most amount of days. We did talk about the fact that last year we did have, you know, we had very little spread. Was it due to mitigation and luck and community transmission? Probably all of that did happen. I do think, thinking about what we did, I think we talked about it today on the radio at noon, but thinking about like the fifth grade, in the fall, we did really implement very conservative approach to that, made that decision, you know, and I don't think we would have done that now. Mm-hmm. I think we learned some things there, and really maybe even the same thing in the spring. You know, we had a lot of spread in the elementary school. We did not really have a lot of spread in the middle and high school. Would we have closed everybody down for the whole time? Maybe not, you know, now. I mean, trying to think that through. What kinds of things did we learn? If we did do it, we were going to have to really try to be more strict about the masking. I mean, really implementing that and trying to make that be more consistent. And then basically so that, yeah, lowest risk would be universal for all. And then that travel quarantine policy being basically you quarantine when you get back, you have a negative test, no loophole. I mean, you can kind of see the process there, so. I don't know if there's anything else to add. You know, I might really quick, I put some notes at the very end, Mara, I think, yeah. And Jamie alluded to these, but we might want to just say this too, because you really explained, of course, the high school we're all really familiar with the biweekly and all of that, still going forward with our plans there. But thinking about the fact that our middle school kids didn't get to have this opportunity last year to do any travel with activities, we did different activities. So,
Yeah, so with middle school, we're not really sure what other school districts are going to do with their middle school programs, if they're going to let them travel, but if we do have the opportunity to travel, which would be fantastic, we would test our middle school students twice, only on the week that they are about to travel, because they don't travel as often as high school. The high school kids, it's pretty much every week they're going somewhere and coming back from another location. With middle school, they have one trip and one in-person at home meet is what we typically did. We're still not real sure what other school districts are going to be doing with their middle school programs, but if we did, for example, middle school cross-country leaving for Principal's Island for a cross-country meet on Friday, that week that we had that activity, we would antigen test the participants on Monday and Thursday before they left for POW. We would not test them every single week while their season is going on, because they don't have as many interscholastic competitions as the high school does. So still keeping our middle school kids on a testing regimen, but not as intense as what the high school would be, because they just don't travel as often and they only have that one trip. So.
And what about testing when they get back? Or does the middle school usually get home and back within 72 hours?
Sometimes they do, and especially with cross country, it's a quick one. The big ones is typically wrestling, basketball, and volleyball, usually tournaments, but we're still not sure many communities are able to handle that large of a population coming in, so it might just be another team, mm-hmm. you know, that's there. The big tournaments are harder just because there's not a whole lot of places to put teams for housing. And once you get into something like that, you know, you think about what our wrestling tournaments used to look like. We would bring in more kids into the building for our wrestling tournament than we actually had enrolled in our high school. You know, there'd be 160 kids and coaches staying in our building when we had 140 kids in our school. So those big tournaments are still hard to do.
Back in the heyday,
mm-hmm. and especially, you know, we'd have all those kids here plus our kids, because they'd come in before the tournament and before school got out. So, you know, you had place was packed. So, but that's what we're kind of looking at for the middle school. Middle school cross country starts the 25th of August. Right now, we currently still have, if they are coming back from a trip, they have to have a negative PCR test before they can join up with the team when they first come back.
And 5 days.
Yep. Just five days of their quarantine. Bring the negative test back when they start their practice if they were out of town. Not only if they traveled. So if they've been in town the whole entire summer, they don't have to bring a PCR test or anything. And middle school cross country is going to be a good one to start off with because everything will be outside. So the whole entire time. But okay. And we're still just not sure what middle school activities will look like. Even if the worst case scenario with middle school activities, we're going to be rolling our normal activities and doing blue and white scrimmages at home with our own kids if we're not participating against other schools, because we're going to have the population to do it. We did that 2 years ago before the pandemic hit. We were able to get really good competition with our own kids, with our own selves. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, which definitely could happen.
Yeah. And good competition and good games. Yeah. Floor time, court time, game scenarios, always good. Yeah. With the kiddos, and that's what they missed out last year because of the potting. But without the potting this year, we can roll them and make it happen. So
that's always an option too.
Always an option too.
If focus, even with some of our sort of quote unquote regular activities.
Right.
Yeah.
Even with our regular activities, if we don't have any interscholastic competition because not many schools are traveling or doing anything, we can intersquad easily, mm-hmm. easily. And we did that with our high school on canceled weekends. We would just blue and white. With ourselves, just to get that, makes it a little different than a practice. Easier to practice for a coach, or plan for a coach too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. So maybe we could go back up, Mara.
I have a quick question that's not. It's related, obviously, to the plan, but I know the medical center is offering their free testing this Thursday. Is there a way we could advocate to have that? Another free testing? Is that, I don't know if that's our place or not, but I feel like if we offered it the week before school or a few days before school started, families that wanted to make sure, didn't maybe necessarily travel, but wanted to make sure they're sending their kids
into school. I think the medical center is very open to working with us on that. They were very open to it last year with staff testing. Okay. They came up here actually and set up and offered that to staff who were interested in doing it. I think that they have been very open to that, and I think if we had a plan or made a request for that, I think they would be happy to do it.
Individual people or families can still call and request a test if they feel the need, and they're at this time there is free testing available, free asymptomatic testing available if you call and meet the criteria for that. So people can still do that. It's just a matter of, if you guys were going to try to organize something, obviously that's different. I don't know anything about that, but people should know that, like, there's no, they feel they want to be tested for some reason, they can call and that can be arranged.
Yeah.
You know, the criteria is to be able to be asymptomatic tested. You said there's criteria, but I don't know what it is.
That I don't know.
Sorry.
I know I've had staff that have tested and they qualified for the free testing due to their job, like working in childcare. But I don't know how consistent those, it might depend on community rates and all of that too. I wish Dr. T was still here, but.
I know that right now they're offering it if you call and they'll discuss it with you. So if a person has experiencing some symptoms or whatever, then there might be a different test that they do. That's all. I mean, sometimes somebody thinks they're not experiencing symptoms, and once you chat, it's like, oh. But I don't want to speak on behalf of that.
Mm-hmm. And I will say that when I did ask Phil about this, I think a week ago or something too, just talking that through, he did say that, I was asking about like their supply of the rapid PCRs, because that was an issue for us a little bit last year too, was, you try to have somebody get a test on whatever day and then you've got to wait like 3 days or 5 days or 8 days or, whatever. So I think that part is a little bit, they feel pretty confident about their supply for that. So if we needed it or we wanted to request it for students or to be able to get that like one day, return. Yeah.
But I'm not gonna
Yeah, so that was what he talked about. And basically that they would keep offering that, I mean, that option within as long, I mean, they're gonna keep getting the supplies right now through the state. So he said, as long as we don't have like a massive outbreak here or something awful in that sense, if there's supply for it, they're willing to have us be part of that. And they did that last year with staff and students who we were like, oh, they're having symptoms, you know, what do we do or whatever? And they would work with us on that. So.
But there's lots of information on the website and people can call. There's a COVID hotline, it's 772-5788. They can call the clinic, 772-4299. And the medical center people can give people the whole rundown. But I don't want to do it in this platform because I'm wearing different hats.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm just passing on, anyone right now can get a free asymptomatic test at the medical center during weekdays.
Okay, so that's between that like 12 to 4 or any time during the day?
I believe it's
12 to 4 is specifically related to travel.
Okay.
So if you have traveled, you can come in from 12 to 4. If you fit into a different criteria, then it's just recommended that you call.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's definitely some free testing available.
I guess what I'm getting is that there might be charges for getting a PCR test if we do the require that for travel.
Yes, and that would be an allowable, potentially, if we did end up having to go there, that would be something that we could use some of the ARP fund, the rescue plan funds for. That's it could be used for testing.
For the students?
Yes, for anybody that we within our system, if there was a cost associated.
But they're definitely testing Monday through Friday for, yes. People should definitely call. If they've traveled, they could definitely go in. That's all like on the website and Facebook and all over the place.
Yeah. Weekends not available though? As much or no?
It depends on what your need is.
Situation is. Okay. Yeah. And he did also say that if we did have like a large group, like let's say we did have a group of kids that we wanted to have, or, you know, so something from even our own trip or something, he said as long as they just had a little bit of a heads up, they would work with that too, if there was a need of a larger group. Okay. All right. So other questions or thoughts?
So we need to decide on masking and travel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess I'd like the plan where it's fluctuating. If there's really no cases in town, well, let's remove some restrictions. If we're having a whole bunch of scary stuff going on,
then we can meet and talk about
it. Maintain it or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can see using several of these just down the level of transmission in town. If there's no cases in town, I hate having all the kids wearing masks and going through all the garbage. If there's, you know, a few cases in town, but if there are, you know, that's kind of how I feel about it. But it's.
I agree.
Other thoughts about starting the year? What are your thoughts?
I have a few thoughts.
Okay.
I honestly wish I didn't have any thoughts, but. Okay, I guess first off, I wanted to kind of recap something Katie said during her comment at the beginning. Like last year we were sitting here making these plans was like really, really scary because we had been out for months. We were about to put kids in a building when they never had been. There were so many unknowns, and last year when people were saying, we need to know the plan, we need to understand the plan, and naturally and rightfully, parents were so worried and stressed, like, what does this look like going into the school year? So we got that question a lot. What's the plan? Why don't we know the plan yet? And we figured it out, and we did it, and you know, everyone knows I wasn't all happy all the time, but but it all worked great, right? We were in school almost the whole year. So I've heard people asking, and so like we plan for the worst, but it was really good, and we feel like whiplash because we feel like we're in the same place again. So I hear people saying, What's the plan? We need to know the plan. Like, are we sending our kids to school, or how are we sending them to school? Like, why don't we know the plan? And I keep hearing people say that, and I want to encourage and reassure people that, like, school is open.
Yeah.
The federal government is telling us school is open. So unlike last year, we honestly didn't know if we were having kids in this building.
Right.
And that is not the case right now, unless we're in our worst case scenario.
Right.
Right? So I hear people, like, it feels like there's a lot of stress and worry, and like, we don't know what's going on, and can we send our kids to school? Like, we're going to be open, barring like the worst case scenario, which hasn't happened yet, and God willing and knock on wood and all those things won't.
Right.
So I just hope people like are listening and going, okay, like we're talking about some really minor details that our kids are resilient and can handle. And I feel like we're getting wrapped up in things and making it complicated, and it doesn't have to be. And I hear a lot of, like, you know, kids are stressed and there's trauma with the mask and it's terrible. And I don't know, I have four kids, and not to like betray their confidence, but like, we're an anxious family and like, they did fine. Like, the masking was fine. We don't have health problems, so I get that's a whole nother thing for some families. That being said, I'm with Jay. I think kids are resilient and can handle the masks, but I don't think that we need to at this point in time. I like this middle road plan, but I like the idea of having the option of being cautious. My opinion on the start is I don't think it needs to be 14 days. I think it can be 7 days, because that's what we're talking about when it comes to travel. I get the idea of going to that board meeting period of time, and that is logical, and so it's certainly not the hill I'm willing to die on. But I would like to say I don't think it's necessary to do 14 days. Some people are like, you know, they've expressed fear, like, if you start down this road, you're never going to pull it in. And so I would say 7 days to accommodate for potential travel that happened up to the point of school starting. I would say scratch that 72-hour loophole and the rest of the travel policy I like. And I would add antigen test after middle school kids return from travel, if they travel for activities. So that's my 2 cents. I love to see kids in school without a mask, but I also think if that can't happen, that kids can handle it because they're tough and resilient and they're good little people, and they're gonna model what their excellent teachers are doing, and it's gonna be fine. We don't have to be freaking out like we did last year. Like, that was legitimate. You know, we all felt
it was very valid feelings.
Yeah, it was totally legitimate. I was like in the top of the panic, but we're in a better place even with Delta, because we know more, we know ourselves, our kids know how to roll with this. So I think our kids know how to like flip over to like, oh geez, you know, like there's a big outbreak in town, it's a bummer, but we're gonna all mask up for 2 weeks and it's not gonna be the end of the world. I think our kids can handle that if we have to tighten the reins at some point. So that's all.
I have a quick little anecdote to share, kind of on that same note of how tough our kids are. And I think I mentioned something along the similar lines yesterday, where I've had 83 different elementary kids come through my Kinder Scout program throughout the summer. And these conversations are coming up in natural conversation. And I asked the kids, just, you know, different groups, you know, what if you were told you had to mask again? And one child, I mean, all of them were like, yeah, whatever. But one was like, yeah, I don't like lining up either, but I still do it at school. So they understand that it's expected of them. They might not always want to be doing it. I don't want to wear a mask either. But they're going to do it because at least they're in the building. So kind of on that same note, like our kids, they can do it.
But to be really clear, I'm saying I don't think we need to do it as long as we have really low rates. So while I believe they can, I don't think they need to.
Yeah, and so. I agree with that too. Yeah.
And I gotta agree with Megan on that 7 day thing. Mm-hmm. Just because last year we were doing the yellow zone for, I think it was like a month, and it honestly didn't prevent any COVID spread because there was not a COVID case reported in the school during that time, and all that created was a loss of education through virtual. And that would help with the travel for the 7 day. So I think that would be unnecessary to do a full 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Kinley, you think the 7 days?
And then I guess the question that I would ask then is how is the recommendation, I mean, when and how do we determine if we continue with that masking or not masking? Is that the sort of like this health advisory team that I was talking about? Is that, do you know what I'm saying? Is there a, what would that look like?
Okay, I have another, sorry, before we go there. So this is Cheryl, sorry. So we mask for 7 days. So that's like, when kids start on Tuesday?
Tuesday.
So they Tuesday, Wednesday, and then they mask for the weekend?
Well, they're not in school.
So well, I know. So then they have to mask Monday and Tuesday the following week, right?
Is it 7 school days? Is that essentially what you're asking, or seven?
Well, 7 school days,
school
right?
Days.
Yeah.
Right.
That would be.
And so then someone that's been gone is going to come in that just came in on Saturday, and have to mask for 7 days. Are we going to police that?
Well, by then. There, if school is started and underway, then it would fall to our travel policy. Like if a kid starts school,
well, but
after,
what if they've been in Alaska? Is this just for out of state travel, or
this would be, I think,
for all
travel?
Any travel.
I guess the only thing caveat I could see is like we do have kiddos coming in that have been fishing and they're not really in a community where there's spread. I mean, we could.
Well, I'm just trying to
that, right?
Yeah. No, it's good questions.
And so, Heather, for elementary school, the first week is half days, correct? The first 5 days are half days?
No. We are going to school on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Parent-child intro to my conferences are Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no school.
Oh, man. Okay,
we go to school Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, regular, 8 to 2:45, except for kindergarten. And, yeah, there's no preschool at that time. Us at the elementary school are doing introduction to my child conferences on Wednesday and Thursday evening. So we don't work on Friday. That's correct?
Of the first
right.
week.
Of
for
that elementary.
First week
mm-hmm.
for elementary school.
Right.
And then the second week has Labor Day. No, worse.
No, the first week, that first weekend is Labor Day, isn't it?
Yeah, no, Labor Day. Okay, so school starts. Oh, geez, I'm on the wrong month. Okay. School starts here, right?
School starts on the 31st.
So you're going to. Oh, okay, yeah, so it starts here.
Yes.
And then there's no school that Friday the 4th?
Correct.
And then there would be
Friday the 3rd.
Oh, Friday the 3rd. But then there would be no school on Monday the 6th because of the holiday.
Correct.
So really we're looking at a couple days. I mean, the idea of the 7 days is to accommodate for travel. So it's 7 calendar days, not school days. If that's our purpose. If that's not our purpose, we should be clear that that's not our purpose. But if that's the purpose, then...
And just to clarify, elementary only has Friday off. Middle and high school is Friday on.
So essentially, four of these days, the kids aren't even here where we're forcing them to mask. So for the elementary school, so kids would only have to mask for 4 days if we go to the one, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So does it make sense?
For travel purposes, I think so, yeah.
Okay, but now you can go down a deep, dark hole of, okay, but a lot of families have large camping trips planned with multi-families, and they're traveling
well,
to a cabin.
That's going
to
happen anyway.
I know, right?
So
yeah, but that's there's increased risk in having flown on a plane from any place.
Yes.
To here, that if we do this,
right.
Which I'm not saying we do, but just to like kind of flesh it out,
mm-hmm.
The idea is 7 days post travel, so that's 7 calendar days. So yeah, it's really only a couple of days of school
mm-hmm.
for the
But then you're going to have people say, well, I haven't traveled anywhere, but you're still going to make me wear a mask for 7 days. So I don't think you can put in the travel. I think it just has to be 7 school days for that. 7 school days. Not even travel. Because, am I making sense?
Universal masking for that 7 days.
Yes.
But 7 school days.
7 school days, if that's what we're talking, I mean, if that's an option, if that's what we decide, or just forget it. I know this is like, people are freaking out right now.
I know, and it's really a small detail when it's all said and done, but it would be nice just to have it be easy to understand. Mm-hmm. Yes, I really truly hope that this isn't the one thing that anybody gets super concerned about. Like, there's so much more going on.
It is
going
to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, it would be the 31st, Wednesday and Thursday for elementary. And then we have a full five days for high school and middle school, correct? Five. And then, am I looking at the right? I don't know.
This also would get tricky if you're calling, if you're doing school days, because our elementary school doesn't have school Friday, because our kindergartners don't start until Wednesday, and so everybody's on that different schedule right off the bat. Like, I understand if you travel, obviously the plan is your plan, like mask, right? Mm-hmm. For 7 days. But to start everybody off on this slightly staggered could be tricky as well.
And I guess one other thought I would just throw in as you're, you know, pondering this and thinking about it, to kind of go off what Kinley said, I think part of that we have to consider is, I would agree with you, those protocols at the beginning of the year last year, we had a lot of protocols there. We had the half days, we had the every other day, we had a lot of things that created lost, potentially, you know, disrupted, not ideal learning opportunities for kids. I think the difference here, as you are really, I think, alluding to as well, Meg, is that if this is the one topic we're talking about, we actually do know we can, I mean, if masking is the one topic right now, we know we can function,
yes,
and have and educate and be educated with these on. We're not saying, mm-hmm, we're not talking about doing like a yellow schedule like last year and all that. I mean, mm-hmm, I guess I just want to throw that out.
Yes.
We're really just talking about this part of this, and so I would say we're in school, you know, is this a reasonable thing way to get the year underway as maybe people are staggering their time getting back to town or getting off a boat or getting off a trip or, you know, all those things that kind of happen those first few weeks. So, or those first, well, yeah, sometimes first few weeks.
Just to make it more clear, could we just move for this, like, universal masking off the get-go here rather than saying 7 days or whatever? Could we just pick, okay, we're going to mask until September 9th or 10th or whatever. Could we just pick a date?
It makes a lot more
which
sense.
I mean, I know it was in the plan, but it was like, right, 14th, just September 14th.
Right.
But I mean, it doesn't have to be the 10th by any means.
Like, extra school days.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I agree. I guess that's where I'm just trying to get, you know, because I think for me, it's sort of a natural kind of break. It's a meeting that's already coming.
Mm-hmm.
It is, again, I'm not diminishing the masking, but I'm just saying it's one factor, and really everything else that we're trying to do right now is sort of like, I'm going to say it, back to normal, and I hate saying that, but I mean, we don't have podding, we have, you know, we've got activities going, we're bringing everybody back, we're not doing all the screening stuff, you know what I mean? So I feel like we also need to acknowledge and remember that we have a lot of other things that we're kind of bringing back and doing that are already very different than last year, in a good way, I think, because those are things that people were very important to people. Kids mentioned that a lot in the survey. Parents did too, you know, and staff. I mean, everybody's kind of like, we just want to have our kids and do our year and start. We don't love having the masks on, you know, but I guess that's just one caveat to that too, I guess.
Well, this is Cheryl. So should we just, it's your option. You can mask or not mask. Teachers, they can mask or not mask. Vaccinated or not vaccinated. And that's how we start. And if something happens, masks go on. Or we do it, like, we pick dates for Why does this have to be so hard?
It's like 11 school days that we're talking about to get to that meeting.
I feel like the original concept had to do with travel, but maybe by removing that idea, maybe that's not really our goal. If we can understand our goal, then it's easier to say the plan, I think.
Sure.
Or if our goal is for a transition into school with the lowest possibility of spread after having not been in a building that houses, you know, 100 and some odd kids and over 400 in total plus staff. Mm-hmm. If the goal is to transition with the lowest possibility of spread, then say the 14th, we're going to do it at the board meeting. But let's take the travel idea out of that. The idea, it's not for travel, it's because we're aiming for a smooth transition back into the building, and assuming things are going well, I'll say I'm 100% for not masking. I would want everyone to hear that so that people understand. I think most of our goal is to not be masking on September 15th.
Okay. So we went all the way
back. We did, but sometimes you have to define the goal, and in my mind, that's right. Kind of what we needed to hash out. Like, and if we go into red, and maybe that makes it like more logical for us, if something happens and we do move in that way, we're thinking like, okay, you want 2 weeks, approximately 10 days or whatever that is, you want that to have that amount of time to like mitigate risk once there's been a positive case within the school. So maybe that will at some point later down the road be a natural transition. We're doing 14 days or whatever it is. Maybe it's 10 school. I don't know. I don't want to make it complicated, but like,
yeah,
it's easy for people to remember consistent numbers.
Right. And right. I do agree with you about, I totally agree about, I don't want a mask either, but I also agree about the kids not being in the school and so many people. Yes, kids go and they play with this little group and they go to this little group, but it's not 20 kids in the classroom and not, you know, more people. Because I know that people are talking about it.
Yeah. With no pods, we did last year.
We're not having any pods. They're going to, I don't want masking, but that is something. I mean, what happens? We are open a week and a class gets, and then we're down. Mm-hmm.
Rick was trying to say something back there, too.
Well,
sorry.
This is pure discussion. I just want to throw in from my seat, I really enjoyed the board being involved in all these discussions, and I know you're discussing now and the reasons for wearing a mask. I haven't worn a mask in quite a while because I'm vaccinated and have chosen not to in public, but I know the data we have now. I mean, I heard Dr. Phil. It's funny, I haven't really called him yet before, but Dr. Hofstetter was on the borough council, and I know we had 8 positives on Sunday. I know they're talking about bringing the OC up. I know we've had 2 local deaths in the last month. So the data you all have right now that you're talking with is obviously making us say we need to be more cautious. And I love that whatever date you decide, if we can have a board discussion, and maybe it's a Friday and it's a virtual, I know the superintendents can organize that quickly, but I really enjoy you all making that, and it isn't, you know, just a time thing, but it's a, what is the new local data? I know Mark's great at helping out, and Dr. Phil and everybody would jump in, but I really appreciate all that data and y'all kind of being part of making that, so it doesn't just kind of, you know what I mean, so we don't kind of fall out of it just because we said the time was good a month ago, you know, but because there you all get together and look at where the community's at.
Right.
I heard that from Jay too. I love that. Where's the community at? You know, what's the risk to our kids and our staff, and then making that if that's possible.
Yeah, because that is really almost 5 weeks away now. I mean, you know, that's the other part. There's a lot that could happen in between now and then, and hopefully it all keeps going in the right direction, you know, so that we're having that kind of conversation, like you said, based on local information and local, you know, and I think just also remembering that, as we've said, like, and I agree with you about the travel. In my mind, like, the travel was maybe a part of it, like a bunch of people coming back, but also that slow start idea, in my mind, with this being the one factor that we don't love, but in recognition that those other mitigation strategies that we had in place last year with the pods, with, I mean, such strict, you know, groupings and all those things, those are not happening. So to, you know, that's just something else, maybe just a caution within that, you know, that we have those other things that are looking very normal, you know, in that sense. So
think it's worth noting too, like, we are trying very hard to come up with a compromise based on the feedback we did receive, while also keeping our students and staff, like, in the forefront of our planning.
So it'd be basically be 11 days. If we decide to do the masking, it's 11 days.
Like to the, till our board meeting?
From the 31st to the 14th, it's 11 days. If we decide to do that.
And less for our younger kiddos that we know have a more difficult time masking. Or masking appropriately.
I talked myself back into it. That's good, that's why you want to...
Well, I talked myself out of it and then I'm back.
Yeah, just to the 14th and a discussion, but I just want people to know that, like, our ultimate goal is not, I would hate for anyone to think that that was, like, a way to, you know, get us going down the mask road, because I'm with Rick, I have chosen not to wear a mask anymore, I am happy about that ability, I would like for my kids to have that option as well, so, but can't deny the risk.
Yeah, okay. So then I guess another conversation we need to have here is, you know, what is there value or not in, you know, tightening up then if we are looking maybe at having some of those reductions in masking? Do we want to look at something, you know, a little bit more tight with travel? Do we allow staff in particular to follow that guidance related to travel on the quarantine on the other side? Do we allow students who might choose to share their vaccination status to not have the quarantine after travel? That's the question. And if we do that, do we want to move forward with continuing to have some sort of quarantine requirement on the other side?
I still don't like the quarantine things. I think it keeps more kids out of school than it, mm-hmm. than it helps. You know what I mean? So I do like the option of doing a 7-day, you know, wear a mask for 7 days and do some testing, because that keeps the kid in school.
Yeah.
You're doing some things to protect others.
And from the staff standpoint, like, that's a substitute, like, mm-hmm. for an additional 7 days, plus the travel time that this, you know, the staff member was gone.
For people like me, with my kids, like, if they want to go somewhere, I hate having missed school, but I also, then it's a whole other week on top of it. It's like, so you almost feel trapped that you can't go anywhere because of that. Mm-hmm. You don't want to miss that so much school. So I like the option of, you know, doing some things to prevent spreading it, but that's my, I beat them to death a couple times.
It's okay. That's where we are.
I would say quarantine only if they're unwilling to test.
Okay.
Regardless of vaccine status.
Or... I think it would also be important to just put it out there that if you choose to still test and all of that, but would prefer to quarantine because of where you traveled or whatever, that it would be supported
mm-hmm.
by our district.
Yeah, I disagree.
You don't think you would support if someone chose to quarantine just as an extra layer of precaution?
I think if you're planning to be gone during school, you're already missing school, it's sort of like, I'm taking my kid, and I'll admit, like, I'm planning to take one of my children out of school. If I know I'm not going to test her and I don't want to follow those protocols, so I'm choosing quarantine, I'm choosing to pull her out of school for 2 weeks. That's my choice. I don't feel like we should offer it as a solution, particularly for staff, because that's 2 weeks out.
Mm-hmm.
That should be part of your plan. So if you know that ahead of time and you know that you're not going to test because that's your choice, absolutely is, but they should be putting in their trip slip for 2 weeks, not one, if that's what's going on. Or for staff, they should be requesting 2 weeks, not one.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can take the test and wear a mask.
And as far as vaccination status, I think we should go with what the CDC recommends, or whoever it was. That if you are vaccinated, you can choose to just come right back
mm-hmm.
and not have to test because you went that extra step to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
But still with the mask or no mask upon return?
Probably no masks, just because you went that extra step
okay.
as a
just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
I think we have to be careful having a different set of rules for vaccinated versus unvaccinated.
Yep.
Just because it's
a slippery slope.
A slippery slope.
Yep.
Not
to degrade
my own daughter, but
she had a good idea.
But yes, I get it.
It got me thinking, and I'm kind of like, eh, I don't know now, honestly.
Well, I mean, again, that is the guidance.
I think so too.
So
that
I think
the guidance, though, that's
especially
true.
Since we know that vaccinated people could still transmit.
I still think they should. I think vaccinated or not, you should come home and have a test, because what's the harm? I don't know whether they have to wear a mask. I don't know. That's where I'm like, I don't know. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
CDC doesn't require it.
So are we? Can I ask a question? So we're willing to follow the CDC guidelines when it comes to returning from travel, but not when it comes to masking. So we're cherry picking the travel option with CDC, but not the mask. Am I understanding that?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's some of the conversation. Yep.
I will say, after listening to everybody's, I'm the minority. I still go by what the CDC recommends, and I'm concerned for our K through fifth grade students who cannot make the choice. We talked about parent choice and parents protecting their children, and at this point, I have no option for my 9-year-old. Yes, I can ask her to, you know, she will willingly wear a mask, but that doesn't mean she'll necessarily be protected if the next kid over contracts it and brings it to school and shares it with her. And so I'm just putting out my two cents. It's my kid as well as any other kid, and I think of some of the kids in the community that are being raised by elders that may be compromised in another way and can't get the vaccine or have poor health. And as Rick noted, we've lost two members of our community recently, and I just want to know, I guess moving forward, that we as a community are okay with opening the school doors with no masks, knowing that our K through fifth grade students will go unprotected while being in the building with each other, and that we're okay with that. And if we're okay with that, then I'm going to toe the party line and accept what the rest of the board is leaning toward. But I just want you to know that I'm uncomfortable with it, but I will support whatever decision the majority decides.
And I gotta say, it wouldn't be 100% unprotected. Like, we'd still have those other strategies in place with distancing and cleaning and proper hygiene being in place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Sarah, what are your thoughts then about the...
Yeah, I absolutely agree that there are a lot of those other protocols still in place, but we're also dealing with a variant that we didn't have last year that has been clearly shown that it's much more active and easily transmissible. So that's where I think if we weren't dealing with a variant, then I would be more inclined to support what the rest of the board is leaning toward. But me personally, as a board member and as a community member, I do not want to be responsible for anyone's death by passing it along, whether it's myself or my child passing it on to another child who brings it home to their elder grandparent that lives in their house, or doesn't even have to be an elder. My goodness, we've got, you know, teenagers and children under 18 being hospitalized with it. So I just, and to be honest, I don't want my kid getting it. I'm concerned, you know, for selfish reasons. But I know we, you know, at this point, we do have some cases in Petersburg. Maybe they are clumped together. And I don't know the circumstances, obviously, of what the numbers are, if they're not, you know, if they haven't spread throughout the community, so our community spread is low. Maybe that's the case. Does it, you know, I don't think we're ever going to pick the right answer tonight or any night. We're just going to try and do the best we can. But I just wanted the rest of the board to know my concerns, and whatever the majority decides, I will support it. Though, if no masking is what's decided tonight, then that's what you'll get my support for that. But I just wanted to be able to explain, you know, my 30,000 foot view.
Okay.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah. Thank you.
So just to, again, clarify, because there's been a lot of ideas thrown out there. If we did do the universal masking, right, everybody's going to do it, we still plan to bring it up, like, and reevaluate every board meeting, correct? Like, is that something that we reevaluate frequently? Sarah, is that your idea of this as well? Or are you like, nope, we're locked into the...
I guess in an ideal, you know, if I had a magic wand, what I would love to see is universal masking until K through fifth grade can be vaccinated, and that there's enough time for parents to make that choice for their kids. And once that choice has been given, if they choose not to vaccinate, then I almost feel like it's a hands-off. All right, we've done as a school district as much as we could protect your child while under our care. You as a parent have made the choice whether to vaccinate or not. We're now past those 2 weeks of vaccination period. Kind of an all bets are off, similar to the flu every year. Whether you choose to vaccinate your child or not for the flu becomes another parental choice. But I am cautious because we still have a population that we are responsible for that cannot be vaccinated, that the parent cannot make that choice, that we have a few parents in our community that are urging to be able to make parental choice, but they're not considering all the circumstances. Their parental choice is falling on a mask or no mask without the consideration for some parents that now that control is being taken from them as well, because they had a sense of I will feel comfortable sending my child to school with a mask, because yes, it's not perfect. It's, you know, it can, yes, we can probably pass it from one to another while wearing masks. But I think we can all agree that the March outbreak, well, I don't know that for sure. I'll have to say, I guess I can't say we all can agree that it wasn't poor masking that necessarily spread it because of the where it came into the school. But I don't think we need to get into how it occurred in March. I guess I just, it's kind of a, you know, we have some parents that are asking for control when it comes to a mask, but I'm asking for control so that we can hold off until I have the option of vaccinating my child, as well as, you know, many other friends that may choose to vaccinate their children as well. And, you know, what I would perceive is that if, as DHSS said tonight, it looks like we could potentially have something by November. You know, kids start getting vaccinated in November and December, and maybe we're starting the new year as a no mask. Yes, ideally, I would love to throw those things away and not have to wear them again. But I will say the two deaths this summer have bothered me significantly, even though I didn't know either gentleman very well. And maybe that's where it's coming from, is the concern over 4th of July, and then all of a sudden having a few pop, and then both of these long-term residents and community members passing away. And, you know, I don't want to see a child go through that because they haven't had the opportunity to vaccinate. I guess that's about it.
I think this is what's really frustrating about this whole situation, is everybody is making such valid points. Way to bring the arguments tonight, gang. Mm-hmm. And the feedback we have heard has been so valid in trying to find ways to look out for our kids and our staff and our community. It's not easy.
I guess I have a question for Sarah. So the main concern is the elementary age kids who aren't able to get the vaccine. So if we were to make masking universal, would that also be for the high school and middle school, where those students do have the option of getting vaccinated right now?
I don't think so. I think I would want to see it K through fifth, only because as long as they're at school, they're not transmitting, or the possibility of transmitting it to each other is substantially reduced. You go out into the community, or you have a sibling in middle school and high school, there isn't anything we can do. You know, we have you for 6 hours a day or less, and then you're gone. But while you're there for those 6 hours or whatever, 5 hours or 4 hours on Friday, that we're reducing the possibility that you could get it from a classmate as much as possible. And you know, we can't do anything once you leave the walls, but while you're under our care, are we doing the best possible scenario to keep you from catching it from your neighbor who may be carrying it. Mm-hmm. Now, middle school and high school, like you said, they have had the option for quite a while. You know, there's not much we can do about that. I'm not inclined to you know, I wouldn't suggest it for middle school and high school, because I don't think it's, you know, we're going by, you know, again, I guess I'm arguing not to cherry pick, but here we are cherry picking CDC recommendations, and, you know, they're saying universal masking inside, but they also have that caveat that if you have, you know, high density or high transmission rates going on in your community, well, as long as they stay low to nothing, I think it would be certainly safe, at least, you know, the medical staff is suggesting, you know, you don't have to necessarily wear a mask indoors. I don't know. I know I just probably, you know, it seemed like everybody was in agreement, but again, we'll do what we do. I'll just continue to pray that no child catches it and passes it on, or is hospitalized as a result of it until they can be vaccinated.
And I would maybe add to that, if we're kind of having this conversation about the guidance around, you know, students, that whole conversation about kids being universally masked in each other's space, can they not end up on a close contact list? And, you know, do they get out of that whole quarantine piece if they are, you know, masking? And I think that is probably another case to support what Sarah is saying as well, in that sense. You know, they don't have an option for that right now. So there's that component too.
And thank you for clarifying that, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I've thought about that also, mm-hmm. about being responsible. We say, hey, no masks, and then your child gets sick and something horrible happens, and who are they going to blame?
Mm-hmm.
Us, because we didn't have a mask mandate. I mean, that's, or a masking policy. I've thought about it too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I just came about talk myself into so many different things, because I think, well, she's not wrong.
No.
And so you think about masking K-5, and like, but then I started going, well, but those K-2ers, like, they're not very good at masking. So then they're not really consistent, and they need so much more, you know, so much more important, particularly that young age. Some of them have never been to school before, that like they can see their teacher's face, that they can engage with their peers, and they're just not consistent with it anyway, and they fall off, and they, whatever they do. So then it's really 3 through 5, and then it's like, does it, and they're all in the same, you know, like I keep just talking myself in circles.
Mm-hmm.
I want someone to tell me what to do.
And nowhere in this conversation yet has been our new preschool kids.
Uh-huh. Right. We should be saying pre-K,
mm-hmm.
because they're in our building as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's a rock and a hard place. And to loop back around to the question you had earlier, and then Katie, you know, it's all kind of, we've danced around it, but we haven't really said, like, if we don't universally mask either the whole district or the elementary, if we do choose to not mask, we need some sort of plan for if we decide to change that even temporarily, if we're in red. So, like, a plan for how to make that decision is
mm-hmm.
what you were asking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and what Rick was saying, like, are we meeting as a board? Do we have a group? Is it just like a quick decision because it's, you know, whatever
right.
happens, we're kind of in crisis. Like, so is that,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a sudden, hey, we got to pull the team together and have a phone conference this afternoon? I mean, what does that look like, and who's on that? Who's
yeah.
a part of that team?
So a couple districts that are talking about these similar sorts of things, whether it's universal masking for the, you know, the first few weeks, or talking about the K-5 that doesn't have the option, and so that all these conversations are happening in lots of different districts. I think having a having the board have the ability to ultimately make a decision about reducing some of those, like we're talking about, or but having maybe myself or the admin team and, you know, that committee, public health, you know, there's sort of that small health advisory committee with, I would argue, maybe one board member be on there, making that decision. If it had to be made at night, you know, would there be authority given to say, like, we're going to implement this, like, I can make that decision for the district, with some of that, I mean, theoretically, if somebody's letting me know about the cases or whatever's going on, it's somebody from the medical community that's probably giving me that information, so, which is what they do, public health, you know, so making that quick decision. Some districts are doing that, you know, you guys would make that decision about reducing things, and I theoretically could tighten them up based on.
Well, haven't we already been doing that anyway?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That does give a lot of control to just a couple people for, you know, whether they're closing a school or.
Mm-hmm.
Some you may have two or three people that really have one set of ideas about how things should be. That gives them a lot of control over.
Right.
Everybody.
I agree with you. I guess what I would say is, maybe what I should clarify is, I would say if there was a need to sort of implement, like, masking or not masking on a quick note, maybe that is something that could be tightened up. I think a closure like that, I know we talked about this a little bit last year, would, again, depend on maybe numbers of cases, you know, how much, how far is the spread, you know, do we go that far to closing, you know, three classrooms or one classroom or just individual students or staff are on that list, and that's just where they are. I'm open to that too. I mean, having a health advisory team for maybe those bigger conversations, you know, having that group.
If that would make you feel better, then yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's the federal, the government is saying schools are supposed to be open.
Mm-hmm.
Are they giving any guidance on, like, what circumstance a closure would occur?
Not specifically. I mean, that's where I think you get back to looking at what are those factors in your own community. You know, those same things that we've talked about. Is there a high transmission rate? Or, you know, is it happening amongst people who are vaccinated, not vaccinated? Those would be things that people would be giving us probably that public health perspective.
I hate to micromanage, but I almost think if, like, the federal government's saying, like, schools should be in session with mitigation efforts, like if we were gonna go with a full-blown closure, you know, we probably should, and maybe we should have even in the past, like have a school board consensus or something. Like, I don't wanna make it harder. Obviously, sometimes a quick temporary decision needs to be made.
Sure.
But since
Sorry.
I was just gonna say, since they're saying now, like across the country, they kind of made it okay for schools to just close down. And now they're saying, like, that shouldn't be a thing. So we should make it harder here, too. Not that you guys would do that, but if it would make people feel better that, like, they're not going to suddenly get a phone call that, like, you know, we're closing for this amount of time or whatever. But without some course of action. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got to do sometimes a quick temporary, like, oh, my gosh, things went crazy and we got to be closed tomorrow because we got to figure out how we're going to proceed. Like, that's one thing, but.
Right.
So, like, more than a day.
Yeah, I don't want to make it harder. But at least it's on our mind that whether or not we actually even put it in writing, I don't know. I don't want to make it harder.
Right.
It's like, but I want people to rest assured that it, like Jay's saying, that, like, one person is, or two people is not going to say, school's closed when federally they're saying.
Well, can I put it out there to the board? Was anybody uncomfortable with the decisions that were made in March when the school closed down? The board wasn't involved in that. That was the administration made the determination with the EOC that needed to shut down in order to clean the school and see how far things had spread. I was quite comfortable with the decisions that Erica and the staff made and the attempts to get a hold of parents to come get their kids. And that was without our involvement.
I am too, and I was too. The difference now is that we have no EOC. Now if that changes, like Jeff was suggesting, maybe they'll do something. We have no EOC, and like across the country, that was status quo. Now they're saying, no, your schools are open. Mm-hmm. Even in areas where there's high spread and things are looking dire, you know? Mm-hmm. So the idea is supposed to be open. I think we just want to
make sure. I guess potentially is our situation would be because of staff. If we had too many staff sick, mm-hmm. then we're potentially closing the school because we can't replace them. It's not like other, I mean, we've already experienced it in the community with, you know, the convenience store being closed and Hammer Week on closing earlier and trading union because they don't have staff. So we could potentially have a similar scenario, and that might warrant a discussion with the board on how to handle that. But like you said, yeah, the push is to have schools open no matter what.
Mm-hmm. So would us being involved make you feel better? And more easier for you to make certain decisions? Like,
I think that, I mean, having you guys as representatives is clearly hugely helpful. I think having it be like, is it a requirement to get everybody together for I guess we would want to determine what sort of triggers that kind of a meeting, I guess, for lack of a better word. I think if there's a situation developing with cases or something, you know, that's kind of how we did it last year. Like you said, we would meet with the EOC. I could certainly have contact maybe more of a board rep to be on that sort of health advisory, whether it's even, I like that idea. That idea came from Haynes, by the way, the idea of having that sort of weekly or biweekly, just kind of a standing meeting that maybe it's 15 minutes, you know, like with a board member who's one of those people on that committee, and just like, what's the status, what's going on, how's it looking, you know, anything new, just as literally a health advisory kind of function, you know, for that. I would agree with you. I think it would take a lot. It would be to have a larger closure at this point, based on what we learned even last year and all those kinds of things, it really would probably be staffing related, or it would be massive spread. Like, I think it would have to be something that literally public health is like, oh my gosh, you cannot, we got to get a handle on this, you know. So I think if it's a big decision like that, it would be something where it would be more of like, you know, you've got 40 cases in your elementary school or something, we've got to get a handle on this, in which case we might have multiple staff members that wouldn't, you know, be able to be there either. So it could come down to something like that. So I don't know that everyone, I guess it would be what kind of triggers that involvement, I guess, for lack of a better word, you know. Kind of like the idea of having more of a regular sort of a standing meeting. If somebody wants to be that person on that little committee, I would love that, and we could just pick a time and that's what we do, and that's, you know, it's public health and a couple other people and a board member, and, you know, I like that idea. I think if we have to make a decision or an announcement about something, if there were, you know, 10 cases in one classroom or whatever, I don't know that we need to convene the board to have that kind of a conversation, because it sort of is what it is. If there's that many kids, we're figuring out, I'm just looking at Rick and Heather, we're figuring out staffing, we're making sure who's in the building, who has to go home, and it becomes more a function of that. So I don't know that that would require a full, you know, board involvement.
If I could throw there, my last comment was just saying, what that September 14th meeting or whatever date you decide, just because we're kind of playing super safe right now because we know what's going on, but that felt like that decision will be probably kind of how we do business. And if I think back to last year, we kind of had this great yellow plan and we all got into it and we were like, yeah, that wasn't this such a great plan. And we adjusted and we had some board input there. But I also appreciate Sarah kind of saying, as we get going, we obviously want to talk with the board, but like you're saying, it doesn't have to be this big formal meeting and advertised for everything once a year. But right now we're really, I mean, it's different, but it's similar where we're starting and we're trying to figure out precedent and protocols for the year. And it's also very political, as we're hearing from letters and stuff. So the board report, I'm really thankful for everyone's input, Anna, and your constituents that you speak to that we don't hear from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess we gotta make a decision at some point. So mm-hmm. I'll just throw a recommendation out that we start with the 14th or till the 14th, you know, for masking, and then have fluctuating green, yellow, red levels that we can decide at that point where we're at, you know, as far as green being very little restrictions, red being we're a lot of restrictions. Then we can kind of go from there. But that's my two cents. So we at some point we make a decision.
And then our goal is no masking at once, hopefully at one point.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think we can say that, but again, I think maybe to go to Sarah's point, we may or may not be in a situation where we do ultimately feel like that is, I mean, I guess I would caution us to say that it's absolutely going to be like, if there's zero cases and everything's perfect, we're absolutely going to get rid of masking.
Oh no!
I can't say that. I don't feel comfortable saying that out loud. But I appreciate having a date that we're looking toward, giving us this time to process what might happen in between now and then. It may just be like, I can't believe we've even thinking about removing masking, or it may be like, oh, we're really still in this low status of cases, and maybe it is actually a possibility. You know, I think we're future tripping on that a little bit right now, which makes me a little bit nervous. But okay.
I agree with all that. I think the idea of a committee or whatever, that's
uh-huh.
great. It takes the burden off of you to have to be one person, and I definitely don't think the board needs to meet about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's not what I meant whatsoever.
Sure.
I guess I want to reassure people that like the goal is to never, we're not doing a full scale close down, because that's what we're seeing nationally and federally, which is different from last year.
Mm-hmm.
However, we can't proceed if we have, you know, a bunch of teachers and staff out sick.
Right.
Or in quarantine or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But like, how do we know when we're in yellow and when we're in red? Because we're not all going to meet. I don't want to have to meet every time that decision is made. But
right.
And with lack of an EOC,
mm-hmm.
there has to be some group that's willing, whether that's just you three, that's like at 10 o'clock at night going, oh, geez, you know, we just learned all this information that's going to affect school tomorrow.
Right.
You know, versus like, are we in red? Red is meaning masking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be some plan. But yes, Jay, yeah. That's good sets through a couple weeks, but yeah. Then we got to figure out how we're going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree with what Jay is saying as well, and at the risk of social media blast later, I will right now say that I also stand with Sarah, and I will likely not be putting my vote towards unmasking our will not be putting my vote towards unmasking Stedman Elementary until we have the chance to vaccinate those children. The choice to vaccinate them is likely where I will continue to stand. But I like reevaluating on the 14th. I think that's awesome. And working towards the goal of not wearing masks, because I don't like them either,
mm-hmm.
for a multitude of reasons. But I'm going to put it out there right now. But I do stand with Sarah, and I stand with our families and our community members that have pleaded with us to make that decision.
Okay.
So I just want to clarify, are you universal masking for the first until September 14th,
yes.
K through
for,
12, or just K through
yes.
5th?
No, all
so
schools,
school.
Universal masking until September 14th. We reevaluate on that date. And when we reevaluate, I likely will hopefully say, hey, let's unmask our middle and high school. But I personally will likely not be putting a vote towards unmasking our Stedman Eagles anytime soon.
Okay. All right. And so, Jay, and maybe a couple of you, to your question about the red and the yellow and all that, so thinking about what that looks like, sort of what triggers or moves that around, is that what you mean? Like, how do we make that decision? I mean, we'll kind of make that decision as a group in September, but moving forward beyond that, if we ended up in a position where we were in more of a recommendation status somewhere, what would maybe trigger that? Would that be that health advisory group that might have that conversation if we needed to make a quick decision, you know, to basically, again, it's really talking about masking at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And as far as travel, people are comfortable moving forward with this or this option?
Don't we talk about getting rid of the 72-hour loophole, though?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this isn't edited in real time.
No, it's not edited.
I see your little red marker. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I just turned it on for the first time in a while. Okay.
And are we not going to go with the CDC guidance as far as vaccinated students and staff?
That's the conversation there. We've talked about trying to have things that are the same or not the same. In that sense, I think, I mean, obviously in the elementary school or anybody who's unvaccinated anyway, and all of our elementary kids, they would be under this sort of return with this process regardless if we decided to go there. I think that I'm not uncomfortable still allowing vaccinated people to come back into the building as with that guidance, because that hasn't changed. Now, does it make total sense to me all the time? No, but I, you know, that is that recommendation. So I think that's what Kinley's asking.
I believe that the borough, and Meg, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, the medical center have the same rules for their staff. If you're vaccinated, you can go right back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think we needed to test.
So I guess I think it would just make the most sense.
But again, they're working with adults, not children, so I'll throw that out there.
And at working, I work at the hospital. We're, masked 100% of the time. Like, there are some scenarios for some people when they don't have to, but it's like you're in a private office, that kind of thing.
I just think the kids, we can't really say the separate the two different types of kids, mm-hmm. vaccinated versus unvaccinated, with wearing a mask. I think that's.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're going to make a mask, I think you have every mask,
mm-hmm.
not just vaccinated. Is that what you're asking, Kim?
Yeah.
I think you need a university, at least with kids, because kids are different.
Mean. And get tested.
I think it needs to be universal no matter how we do it.
Mm-hmm. Kids and adults or kids?
I think everybody, but it's universal. That's my opinion. But
mm-hmm. still allowing them to come back, though, but with those other protocols in place for travel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Heather, did you have something to add?
No, I was just trying to read it.
Okay.
Wait.
This may have been one of your brainchilds.
Yeah, I like this, right? This is what we were
I think
talking
so.
About.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's assuming some risk. I mean, it is assuming some risk.
But they're back in school.
Exactly.
They're here with us.
Just give them like a corner desk, like way away from everyone.
And I do think, I mean, I think that is, we'd have to consider.
Joking.
Again, but we are, but we do need to really consider that physical space and the spacing. I think that's in general. I think that still keeps coming back up, whether they're traveling, not traveling, whatever. I think as much as we can keep some space is important mm-hmm. regardless, so.
I'd like to know who is going to antigen test and count that bi-weekly and know that everybody's traveled.
The COVID wrangler that's out there that still doesn't exist, that we don't have a person for. Yeah. The mystery nurse that's out there that hasn't applied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yep.
That's a lot.
So we're still looking for that person as well. So, yeah. Okay.
Will that PCR test that's required be available at the school, or would that student be required to make that on their own time?
That is a question I could ask Phil. It would require them they have to do that type of test. We can't do that, so my assumption is that it might need to be down at the clinic, but I bet we could come up with a way to help facilitate that a little bit.
Sorry, I had to step out for a minute. Was that regarding travel?
Just thinking about getting that PCR test on day 7.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever.
They do the travel testing at the hospital for anybody. So it'd probably be done with our same protocol, I would assume. Which right now is from 12 to 4.
Yep.
Okay.
I did it last week. That's why I made that information.
Yeah.
That was negative. Sorry.
And just noting that students are in school most of that time.
Mm-hmm.
So how would that work for them to be able to get that?
I think we would talk with the hospital and see what they might be willing to work with us on. Yeah, for sure.
Read block becomes PCR block.
Well, it's a quick walk.
It is.
Yes. But yes, no, those are good questions. Those are logistical questions. So I think those are good questions. Mm-hmm. Are we comfortable with allowing people to have an option to not PCR test at all? Can they have an option of doing and that says a 7-day quarantine, but really is it a 10-day quarantine without?
You can't really force anyone to do anything. I think it should be strongly discouraged.
Do we need to do a PCR test plus the antigen testing after travel?
Jamie says no. PCR test.
It says biweekly, no symptoms biweekly, antigen testing upon return.
PCR test
is completely
on day 7.
So that says they have to do both, biweekly antigen and the PCR test.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my question is, do we need to do both of those, both antigen and PCR tests?
Might be a lot of swabbing.
Mm-hmm.
Because in reality, with the antigen test, you do not want to swab back to back. You want to have a minimum of 36 hours in between each swab.
Mm-hmm.
On an antigen.
And aren't the antigen tests less effective when you're asymptomatic?
Asymptomatic. Mm-hmm.
Unless you're doing it the way our athletes are
right,
doing it, where it's
doing it
regularly scheduled.
Yeah. Unless you're doing it continuously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then do we need to have both of those? Like Jay asked.
No.
So we need to find out, or?
This is sort of our idea originally anyway that we brought forward to them. I mean, you heard Dr. Cutchins. I mean, we're assuming some sort of risk regardless if we're bringing people back in one way or the other. So, and doing it more than having biweekly is better, as he said, than just sort of doing like one random test. But is it worth the time that goes into that? I don't know. So if it's maybe it's, 7 days of masking, no symptoms, strict social distancing as much as possible within the school setting. I don't know how that even works, but I mean, I don't know if that's something we want to say. And then a PCR test on, day 7, providing that.
And the results are really fast for some reason now. I got it within 4 hours.
They are.
So, and if they're free and it's fast results and it's more accurate, I guess that sounds pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. And no 72-hour loopholes. So if people go, this is what we're asking them to do, regardless.
No matter of whether it's in-state or out-of-state travel, if you...
On Alaska Marine Lines or...
Or the airplane.
Alaska Airlines, right?
What about like the seaplanes?
We did not go down that road last year with our policy because they were small
and
more personal. We didn't get into if people are taking boats across Durango. We left that out. So, okay. All right. So I will work on putting this together. I'll add some information in there about the advisory team conversation for, having an advisory team. I think having some regular meetings would be really good. I think if there's anybody on here that wants to be that contact person, for me, a board member who wants to be a rep on that, like weekly. Anybody interested in that?
Do that. I mean, I just work 8 to 5.
I know.
I could probably do it during my lunch time occasionally, like once a week or biweekly. Mm-hmm. I can make that happen. I feel like Jay's probably more qualified. because he's in the medical field at least. No. But,
and I don't think they need to be long meetings. I mean, I think it's literally like could be a 15 minute, you know what I mean?
Sure.
On a regular basis. So I don't know if that's something that we could work in. I mean, if it could be put in your actual schedule. I know you have a crazy work schedule too, but I don't know what your thoughts are.
It's up to you, Jay.
Anyone, I'm fine.
We've made so many decisions tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well, I don't know. We've talked about a lot of choices.
We've talked about decisions.
We've talked about making decisions.
Can I just ask for clarification on what you guys decided?
We don't know.
We haven't really decided yet.
I'm just going to go up to the microphone and speak in it. Can I ask for clarification on what was decided?
Okay.
I just got lost a little bit.
Yep. We all did too.
Yeah, we went down a few rabbit holes.
Okay, so from the feedback that we've gotten here and taking other things into consideration, what I'm hearing is that we are still interested in looking at universal masking K-12 through up until or into towards that meeting in September 14th, potentially reevaluating that, what that might look like moving forward at that time, as a large, in a large setting. Katie had stated some of her stands on that. Sarah mentioned that as well. So there may be some more conversation about the K-5 component because of the lack of access to vaccination. So that's what I heard there. Then having that, I would set up a weekly health advisory committee meeting with our public health PMC rep, probably you two, myself, a board member, to just touch base weekly about how things are going, looking at cases, and having somebody that has a hand on that pulse. Looking at this for the travel policy, potentially removing the biweekly antigen testing, but requiring the PCR, removing the 72-hour loophole. That would be for everyone, is what I'm hearing. Vaccinated or unvaccinated, students and staff at this point. And decisions after, you know, as we're getting going and looking at what things might look like after that September 14th, if there's a decision at that board level to remove at any level some of those mitigations, mostly we're talking masking, honestly, right? Then if, let's say you did make a decision as a board to remove some of those mitigation strategies or reduce masking or make it recommended or whatever, wherever that goes, if there were cases that cropped up, how might decisions be made at that point, that you would still, I guess, you know, allow us as the admin team to make those calls on, you know, depending on staffing, depending on how many cases there are, that sort of thing. We would work with public health directives, but we would not be necessarily making a decision to like close the whole school, you know, without, that would be a larger discussion. That would be one that I would probably have more from that advisory group, a large decision like that. Tightening up a protocol if we ended up with X number of cases and we were operating in a recommended masking status, that I could or we could make that decision like, nope, we're gonna ramp that up based on there's now 15 cases in the school or, you know, whatever. We need to reinstitute universal masking for, you know, 2 weeks. So that would be something that we being admin could reinstitute, I guess, at that point, because it's not closing the school. It's not, you know, it's just sort of it's adding that mitigation.
And that would be on a school by school basis.
School or class, you know, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth graders don't turn 12 traditionally, but Heather never is doing that. So just to kind of throw that when we get to that point.
Probably is an all or nothing for middle school. It's kind of a 7-12 where they're going to be 12 and older available to get the vaccine.
Because they don't turn until like the spring.
Some,
right, some in the spring,
yep.
Some in the fall, even just kind of
yep.
Depending on
so
that.
So that's
falls,
something
so.
Else to consider.
Something else to think about. And then, I mean, they are kind of separated, but they are in one building. But anyway, just throwing that
under
out.
12. Yep. So that'll be something else.
But also in your considerations for the K-5, please talk about staff as well, because they do have the ability to get vaccinated and to, you know, so when you're talking about the students in K-5, what would the staff be like?
With regard to what?
With regard to the guidance.
So like,
would staff need to be masked? Like, even if we were having kids mask, if an adult who could have made the decision to vaccinate, would they need a mask? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Moving forward after September 14th, yes. Potentially.
Yeah. Yes, if so, they're, yeah.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
Or not. I mean,
or
I think there
could
be. Or
if we are in the red at some point. Sorry.
A lot of schools do have different requirements for staff, though, because, again, they're adults, and so it's a protective idea with going similarly to what Sarah had said about that. So a lot of places are doing that, again, regardless of vaccination status within a classroom setting. I'm not saying that's right or wrong or that's whatever. I'm just saying that's what a lot of places are doing. But we also know that has an impact on instruction, so we're trying to balance that instruction with, you know, public health, so...
So we have 15 minutes left before we have to. Do you want to meet again at some point, have a short meeting on this? Or do you feel
like, are we ready to go to September 15th, 14th, whatever day it is?
I think that I will write this up with these notes, with this plan, with the caveat about the health advisory. I'll try to put that into words that seem to make sense as much as I can. And then we will put that, we are supposed to also put that out again for feedback. That's part of, again, requirements under the rescue plan. So we need to put that out for feedback, see what people are thinking about that, if it seems reasonable, not reasonable, if there's other feedback. I think it's possible we could need to maybe have at least one more meeting before, because we don't really know what's gonna happen in these next few weeks. So
should it be in a week, like next Friday? Or after, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll just say right now, I'm not available next Friday.
Neither am I.
Okay.
Or next week.
Well, I was just losing.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's good. It's good conversation. I wonder about the beginning of the week. What is that next week? The beginning of the 20, is that the 23rd?
23rd, yeah. This Monday's registration.
Oh, ooh, that's not a good.
Why is that day sticking in my head?
What
for
about
some reason?
What about, like, could we call, like, for a work session? Could we? And this is kind of a bummer, but and not that anybody else would want to attend, it would maybe limit some of that. But like, we're already, some of us are going to be together. Oh, you have a meeting on, I was going to say the 27th. Like, we're going to get together, do some lunch, make lunch for the teachers. Could we meet for a few minutes that day? Or is that a big pain in the neck?
I don't think.
To do like a midday.
Well, I think we need to know before then.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, that would be right before school started.
Yeah, we
right
need to
the
know
27.
Before then. Is a week long enough?
Sorry, what were you going to say, Mara?
Can I ask, is that because you are not leaving here tonight with the date to the 14th, and so you think that you need to meet again?
Well, because
if you decide tonight that you're sitting till the 14th with universal masking, I don't, what else are you going to decide in between that time, I guess, and the start of school?
Mm-hmm.
Is my question. Like, I don't want you guys to be overly meeting just to meet when there's not really things to necessarily decide before that 14th day.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just to see the final draft of this?
I was just.
Yeah. No, it's a good question.
A long time.
Yeah. No.
And if we want to meet again.
Yeah. No, it's a good question. I think what I will do, I will write this up. And again, we know, I mean, this is the best plan that we have going forward right now. This is, you know, and we would put it out, we would post it on our website. People can, again, we'll put a link in there. People can provide feedback and comments about it. And then, but if there isn't a, like you say, I can't imagine, at least at this point, based on what we're hearing and discussing here, that we would reduce anything at this point.
No.
Okay,
not,
is that correct?
The 14th.
But not before the 14th.
Right.
So, to go to what Mara's saying, that's true.
So just like the biggest question in my mind is like, after the 14th, how do we know when we're in green, yellow, or red?
Mm-hmm.
That's because we kind of have a, like, that all looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like most things are ironed out, and really the only difference in any of those is whether or not K A5 is masking, right?
Mm-hmm. Or if you're continuing with K-12.
Well, I think that a lot of people
or pre-K.
I'm sorry, there's been an internal error. You will be disconnected now. Goodbye.
I think there would be a lot of people would like to know exactly what's going to happen. They don't want to wait to find out if they're going to have to mask the whole year. That's why, another reason why, well, are we going to meet again and figure this out?
Mm-hmm.
Because some people are like, well, it depends on the masking if I'm going to put my kid in school.
Well, so, I would stand very publicly saying there, I don't feel comfortable saying that we will, that it's, is it possible that we will have more masking this year? Yes.
I say yes.
And so if people are, I guess I'm just saying this publicly, if people are wondering whether they're, if they're making a decision based on that, I cannot say that we will not have masking, you know, again, like if we did decide to pull back on it, it's quite likely or possible that it will have to be reinstated at some point if we pull back. So I think if people are wanting to make that decision, I think that's also part of this, you know.
Well, like, I'm hoping it's more of all year round masking versus just here and there masking. I'm hoping that that's mm-hmm. hopefully what some people think.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
yeah, that it will, that it might flex, it might,
right.
But I get it, that's not a guarantee either. So I mean, yeah. I think that's the other thing we have to be careful. If people are assuming that September 14th is the date, absolutely it's removed, we're done. I think, you know, I don't want to falsely say that that's absolutely the way it's going to be. I think you're asking what kind of triggers there might be for that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I can sit here tonight myself and say that I know those. I think those are going to be somewhat based on having some input and guidance about what cases are looking like, or vaccination rates. And
I think also just a reminder that masking also comes with other protocols we were using. Like you had said earlier, like we're not potting now. Kids are going to eat in the cafeteria. Our teachers will hopefully be getting lunch breaks mm-hmm. away from their children in their class. And that is because we can put a mask on.
Right. So.
I have a really quick question that I almost forgot to ask.
Okay.
What about volunteers and parents in school?
Gosh, I had a note about that too, Mike.
Well, at
you
this point,
about it on the radio.
We said it today, and I'm not opposed to having people come into the school. I think they would clearly need to be masked as we're doing.
They would. Yeah.
You
they
are unmuted.
Need to be masked, but yeah, I'm not uncomfortable. I think we've discussed that a little bit, but I.
Especially for the littles. I mean, in the past, like parents could volunteer, or you know, you want to, I don't know, I like stopped at the door before I took my kid's shoes to her or whatever. It's nice if we could feel like we could pop in there with the appropriate plan. But.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. That's a good question, though. Okay.
Sarah is back.
All right.
It's really late where she
Sarah.
Is. Poor thing.
Poor Sarah.
Okay, so did I cover the things that we want to have in there?
I think so.
Okay.
We're tired, we don't know.
Got it. All right. So maybe right at this point, maybe we don't need to set another date for a meeting. If I suppose we could adjust that if things really blow up
we
or something crazy happens or whatever, we certainly can always schedule one. We just need a few days notice, so if we need to do that. But I will work on putting together, you know, kind of a nice little version of this and some explanation on there about some, and get it to you guys and just get it out and people can make comments on it and we'll see where we end up. Okay. All right.
We're ready to then move on to additional comments from board members.
Mm-hmm. We've all said so much.
I just say that I know we're not going to make everyone happy, but we are really, really doing the best we can.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we really want to see all the kids in school. We're trying.
And stay in school.
And stay in school.
Yeah.
Okay. Any upcoming dates and meeting announcements?
think so.
Not that we're already going to put on the agenda. Okay, future agenda items. Of course, what will happen for the 14th.
Mm-hmm. So I like, sorry, Sarah, I like to just say that this still is in progress. And we haven't finished. So please give us some time. I mean, we haven't, it's not set in stone yet what we've thought about.
Okay. Other new business? I will make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second, Megan.
The motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
I've been waiting all night for that. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah. Sorry for the late night.